the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. I'm Andy Hughes. I'm here with Alex Hudson.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi. Papa was a cop and a mama was a hippie. This time it's going to be week by week, well, episode by episode.
Is it songs from Stadium Arcadium?
First lyrics of each song from Stadium Arcadium. So this is going to keep me going until mid-2018.
Why is that your decision? Why have you...
Good album, innit?
Why have you gone down that route?
More people should be talking about Stadium Arcadium. That was Danny California, guys.
Are you going to track order as well? So yeah. People can sing along?
Yeah.
So and then next week they'll be like, oh, it's definitely going to be, I don't know, Snow Hey Ho.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember what the second track is, actually.
Doesn't matter, does it?
I haven't got the list up anymore. I just had to Google the first lyrics.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
That'll last a week. I'll do it for the Wednesday and then I'm done.
Then out.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Was that a weird start?
Yeah, okay. Strange. It took me aback. I didn't...
Should I just say hello?
No, because we tried that and that didn't work.
No, but I can do it properly now.
Can you?
Yeah, I've been practicing.
So if I go, oh, it's Alex Hudson.
Hello, everybody.
See, you've fucked it up already.
Well, that's normal.
You still sang.
Oh, try what? Oh. Yeah, okay, sorry, one more time.
So if I go, it's Alex Hudson.
Hey, okay.
I think we should just stick with the first lyrics of songs from Red Hot Chili Peppers songs.
That was me giving you a preview of Snow Hey. Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh!
How you doing?
Not bad, thanks. How are you?
Not bad, we had a week off.
I mean, we live in the same house, so it's weird that we start with any other business and we go, how are you? I know, because you're there.
It's because before we start recording podcasts, I actually don't give a shit.
We've had a week off, so we didn't do a Wednesday. This is technically the Sunday, but it's going up on the Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to be back...
For reasons.
For multiple reasons. We're going to be back to normal this week?
Wednesday, yeah, so we're going to have a Wednesday and then Sunday and then...
Sunday. Why did I say Saturday? Okay, cool. Should we get on with this?
Yeah, so what are we doing today?
We're going to review two films.
Yeah.
And no news, because nothing has happened in the interim.
No, there's probably stuff.
It's because these films are more important to talk about than just, oh, I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Like... If you've watched that, then of course you've got to pad that out with news, because you can't speak about 15 minutes of Krang. Whereas this is actually proper in-depth stuff.
Yes,
but we're going to try spoiler-free, I think.
We're going to try, yeah. We're going to see how well that goes.
It'll go well.
Basically, if we have to say a spoiler, we will shout, spoiler alert, and then you'll know that there will be spoilers in this episode.
I am not making that promise.
But we're going to try and avoid any spoilers for these two films. We're going to talk about... Arrival, and I, Daniel Blake, as well, in the new Ken Loach film. Also, I wanted to just say, I watched Hunt for the Wilder People. Mm. We talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
On one of our Wednesday ones, where the new Taika Waititi film, and I agree with you 100%, it's a great film.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say, because I said I'd catch up with it at some point.
Yeah, really enjoyable.
And I actually managed to do so, and Sam Neill's fantastic.
Mm.
But yeah, really recommend that, but we're not going to talk about that, because... No. You've already done that.
We'll probably, it may get discussed at the end of the year. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows what happens at NDO podcast? It might just be talks about...
I mean, it's one thing that we just...
Battleship.
Yeah.
Again.
Why?
I don't know.
Battleship?
Yeah.
When did we last mention Battleship?
Don't know. I'm just naming films.
It wasn't this year.
For some reason, Battleship was the only film in my head at that point.
Yeah, well, it says a lot about you.
Okay.
And your cinematic tastes.
So, where did you want to start?
Let's start with whichever one you want to start with. Let's talk about I, Daniel Blake.
I, Daniel Blake.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, so, hit me with... For those who don't know, what is I, Daniel Blake?
Okay, so, I, Daniel Blake, the new Ken Loach film, which basically serves as a sort of... It's a message film, certainly, in terms of... It trying to say something about the way that the country runs and the way that there's a certain proportion of the country that is reliant on benefits and food banks and things like this, and are quite often demonised.
And it's set in the UK,
set in Newcastle. And basically the story follows Daniel Blake, who has been signed off of work due to him recently having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefits are then cut off. His disability benefits are now cut off because they deem him fit to work. But his doctors have said he can't go back to work. So it's about him trying to find jobs that he can't take that don't necessarily exist.
So he can...
So that he can keep an income coming in because he's now had all of his other funds cut off.
Yeah.
Despite having had a heart attack. And it's basically... It's Ken Loach's attack on the Fit to Work program that's sort of that Ian Duncan Smith introduced during the last.
This is a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the benefits. It's a real... What happened with the benefits in this film actually happened in real life.
It's a real issue.
Well, and is still happening.
It's to do with the overhaul of the system where they've basically reassessed it, so it's now a points based system and everything like that. And the problem with it is that there are many people who are going back to work who are being forced back to work. When they are clearly not well enough to, and are dying as a result of this,
mm-hmm.
and it's Ken Loach doing what Ken Loach does best, which is talking about a very important issue, and humanizing it, and actually showing you the full, you know, the range of stuff that can happen and the sorts of people it affects. Because there's a thing when you get the newspapers coming through and saying, okay, so we've overhauled the system. And then there'll be some newspapers that say, good, it'll get lazy, good for nothings, back to work, blah, 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 benefit sheets, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you've got other newspapers saying it's a terrible thing because obviously these people aren't fit to work. So you've got the two sides of the story there, but you don't actually see the long-term effect. You don't see what happens to an individual.
Mm-hmm.
This film shows that. So yeah. This film is about his search for work. And he meets this single mother who has been relocated from London to Newcastle because that's the only accommodation that the government have been able to provide for her.
Yeah.
She's been living in a homeless hostel for 2 years with her kids. So the story then follows them. And they're two separate but quite intertwined storylines.
Yeah.
You know, basically he befriends them and then, you know...
Because he was an ex-carpenter, is that right? Remember, right?
Yeah,
or he's definitely got carpentry skills.
Yeah.
So he decides that because they're in a house, and this house they've been relocated to in Newcastle, it's not a nice house.
Yeah, it's a dump.
So he basically takes it upon himself to try and help them out by just doing odd jobs around the house.
Mm.
Maybe, you know...
Fixing it up a little bit, making it livable.
Yeah, doing simple things like putting bubble wrap on the windows to try and keep heat in the property.
Yeah.
Means they can then save money...
On the heating, yeah. So, well, Andy, so you're not too familiar with Ken Loach's films?
Not really, no. No, I know of them, like, I know that he did Kes.
Mm.
And I know that because my mum was apparently, when they were filming Kes, her and her sisters were in the area where they were filming. I said, did she get a part? She was like, no.
That's
the end of that story. But that's the thing that happened.
I thought that story was going to end
far more interesting. She was Kes.
We were going to phone your mum. anyway, so it feels wrong to be laughing at this point. What did you think of the film?
I thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I came back to you, I said I had problems with it.
Yeah.
Like, my main issue was the fact that I couldn't connect with Daniel entirely because of the fact that sometimes when he... You said he's not an actor, the guy who plays Daniel Blake.
So Dave Johns, who plays Daniel Blake, is a comedian by trade. This is his first acting job, I believe.
And my problem was certainly, film. Certainly near the beginning, and when he did long bits of speech, it seemed staged, it seemed like somebody reading lines.
Mm.
That's not to take away from the message of the film, though, because I thought this is an incredible film dealing with an incredibly difficult issue that we are dealing with as a nation. And the thing is, even though I couldn't connect with him, Hayley Squires, who played the single mother,
Katie,
is fantastic in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible, and I felt devastated by what was happening to her and her story. From the simple things, like just somebody who's trying their hardest to do best by their children. And when I came out of this, somebody asked me what I thought of it. My response was, I think it's probably not the best made film of this year, but it's definitely one of the most important.
Mm.
Absolutely. And I think you came up with probably one of the best remarks I heard about this film. which is when you said on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. God, I'd have to bring it up again. I can't remember exactly.
It's something along the lines of, the thing we need to remember is this.
Well, you can't go to this film and just watch it as a piece of cinema. You have to go and you have to appreciate the fact that this is not a fictional situation. What you're watching is fiction. However, this exists. This is happening right now all over the country, and millions of people are affected. Food bank usage is at an all-time high at the moment, and people need to know these things. People need to be aware that that's the world that we're living in, and that this is the system that we have in place, and clearly the system is flawed, and also doesn't benefit the people it should benefit in the same way that it really ought to.
Well, the thing is, the writer of this film, apparently he went out to places across the country, especially places that are high users of benefits. And he sat down and he spoke to people about their experiences on the benefit system. And this film is basically a collaboration of their stories and obviously his writemanship. That's not a word, but we're going to use it. Fuck it.
Okay. I'm not entirely happy with that.
Penmanship?
Penmanship is better because that's a thing.
Rather than writemanship. But, you know, it's their stories and what he can create, put together to create a story that you could coherently follow about the situations that people have to go through just to survive. And I think that's incredible because you go, like you said, it's not fiction now.
No.
It's kind of a heightened reality.
Yeah, and this is the thing, the sort of... The interesting thing is, okay, so this year we've had, at the beginning of the year, we had Spotlight, which also focused on a fairly... You know, a fairly well-reported and already established story. You knew what was going on there, and you knew
the Spotlight. It was a joke. Do you know what I mean by that? Not like the film's a joke. What I mean is there would be jokes about what happens with priests.
Oh right, yeah.
And it was never really kind of. It was just a known thing that priests.
The thing is because with Spotlight you were dealing with a story that had already broken and been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was already out there for you. It wasn't breaking new ground because all it was doing was showing you the process they went through to get the results. But the results were already out there. The results were there for you to see. This film didn't really have the ability to go, well, we've already got the conclusion of all these stories because it was saying, this is an issue that no one's really dealing with at the moment, that we are aware of, but no one fully understands the depth that it goes to, and no one really fully understands how much trouble we're in with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both socially responsible films, both trying to be important message bearers for issues that are hugely effective for millions of people worldwide.
And I think the difference between the two was, I came out of Spotlight and I was heartbroken. I was absolutely heartbroken at the fact that situation was allowed to happen. This I came out of angry. Like, I was furious, but basically because my thought process was Spotlight was a situation where a certain group of people had decided to prey on the most innocent society, and they weren't forced into that situation. That's the situation they decided to go into. This made me angry because this is a situation. I'm not a very political guy. You know this. You know, there's certain issues where I get annoyed by, or I will...
occasionally impassioned,
But in total, I'm not really an overly political guy. But this film made me go, this is a situation we've created. This isn't a situation that we had to do. I went on a bit of a rant when I spoke to you about this afterwards. And I'm not going to go through it again, but it just annoyed me that basically this is a system that... This benefit system, we did this to try and cure a problem with our national debt. And realistically, nothing is really improving. All that this has done is made people who were in a worse position in an even worse position. You know, it's punishing those who don't really have anything. And that's what this film highlighted for me. Because it's something that I've always thought that, you know, those who are destitute are being pushed down on further. But this film kind of highlighted that and heightened the sense of, actually, what are we doing to help these people? And there's certain scenes in this film that are devastating. Absolutely devastating. There's one in particular, which I'm sure you wanted to speak about anyway.
Yeah, the food bank scene is by far the scene of the year from any film for me. In the sense that dramatically it's very well put together. It's a perfect scene. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that at all. It's the most powerful scene I've seen in any film this year, in any film in many years. I can't think of many that come anywhere close to making me feel the way I felt during that scene. And it's largely, I think, down to Hayley Squire's performance in that scene. And it's... I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to talk about it too much. But...
Because I think it's one of those scenes that...
one you have to watch.
You have to experience... That obviously, because they the food bank scene, because it is at the food bank, and you'll know, oh, this is probably the scene I'm talking about. But I don't want to go into what the minutiae of that scene is, because it takes away the impact of what happens.
Yeah.
But the reason that's so perfect, that as a scene, is because not only is it well written, well directed, but well acted, like everything in that scene works so well to get the desired effect.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
Yeah.
But
this is the thing. It's the idea of you saying, you know, for that sort of hour and a half, 2 hours that you're sitting in the cinema, it's the angriest you've been in the cinema since you've seen Transformers 4, presumably. But it's that kind of anger, and I think, you know, Ken Loach being the kind of person he is, wants that reaction. He wants anger. He doesn't want feel pity for these people.
Yeah.
He wants anger and action. You know, particularly due to the denouement of the film, you know, the sort of the big action towards the end where, you know, the Daniel Blake comes into it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants people to be angry. He wants people to say, why aren't we doing something about this? This system is not right. And there's, you know, we know the system's not right and people have been reporting on this. Here it is in a film made by one of the most respected directors that we have, saying, you know what, this isn't okay. And you need to get angry, and you need to be impassioned about this, and you need to try and help where you can, and we need to understand that we are failing millions of people. And we are not only failing, but the government has brought in legislation that is killing people.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
That's the reality of the situation, this system. And I don't really want to go on about it because we're not a political podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, we've never tried to go into the politics of situations.
Yeah, this will be it for the next 5 years until Daniel Blake 2 comes out.
But we've never tried to. But the problem is, as people, this film makes you realise that we are hurting people.
Mm.
And we're not really doing anything about it.
No.
Because... The problem is there's a mindset that it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
And it's a damaging mindset to have. And the thing is, if it doesn't affect you, you sometimes are blind to the fact that it actually is affecting somebody.
Mm.
And what a film like this does is it really highlights the fact that while you might be fine, those people that you walk past in the street and you might scowl, kind of throw shade on, they're actually suffering.
Yeah.
And what it does really well is it shows how different people deal with different situations. You know, Katie deals with things in a different way to Daniel, who deals with, you know, this poverty and this working wage differently to his neighbour.
Because
His neighbour's there selling...
They're the trainers just cutting out middleman.
Yeah.
You know.
But he's basically found a way to make money for himself.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see how different people are dealing with different situations, but also then how pressures are put on people who have to jump through the hoops, like Daniel Blake, who has to jump through the hoops of the system. They put pressures on him. Like, there's a really interesting line where they say digital by default.
Mm.
Whenever he has to fill out a form, they go, oh, we're digital by default. But Daniel Blake has never touched a computer before in his life.
Yeah.
And watching somebody struggle, and nobody really giving him any assistance.
Yeah.
And
I think it's quite easy for sort of the younger generation to go, oh, well, everyone's used computers. Not true.
Yeah.
That is patently not true. And this is the problem. In a world where everything is now going digital, there is a generation that are being alienated by that.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, you know, you see it within this film. You see the issues that drums up. As a, you know, thankfully he has other people around him who are able to help him out with it, but... problem still exists. The problem still exists in a general sense. So you take this one isolated incident and you go, okay, so fine. In this situation, he had those people. But again, out in the real world, there are millions of people who don't know how to use computers.
Yeah, and what I will say about this film, though, obviously, after everything we've spoken about already, what I want to say is the nice thing about this film, and I know I've put down, did you say it was the guy who plays Daniel Blake is Dave?
Dave Johns, yeah.
Dave Johns. I put him down a little bit earlier. The one thing that is nice that he can do really well is this film does have moments of levity. Mm. But even in the darkness of what the situation is, it shows that there is still light.
Yeah.
Light and shade, but also that it's very nice to see. It's a lot of people in. It kind of goes, even when the worst things that happen to you in society and the people, like the man, is putting you down, those people who are suffering pull together.
Yeah.
And they can actually find light. And there are really funny moments in this film.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments that really made me laugh. And I think that's predominantly, you know, Dave Johns helps with that by being a comedian. He know his timing is pretty spot on. And even though sometimes I feel acting-wise it isn't up to scratch, he does bring other elements to the film that I think really, really help this along and really make it... Because if it was all dour, if it was all, this is a shit situation, I don't think you would come out of it as much. You come down feeling quite down. In this situation, you go, there is hope.
Yeah.
By having that levity, you go, there is hope, but we've got to do something to help.
It is probably on its way out of most cinemas now, yeah. Unfortunately. I think it's sticking around maybe for a couple of weeks in the independent ones. If it is showing anywhere near you, you can pay the money and see it. Like, you find it wherever it is. I think I'm going again this week, actually. It's one of these films that is just... It demands to be seen through the fact that it is probably the most important film you'll see this year.
It sticks with you.
And you won't regret it. You know, you will feel impassioned by it. You will feel... I can't imagine anyone having a negative reaction to this film.
No.
Okay, so we'll move on now to the second film that we want to discuss today. Slightly less heavy.
Yeah.
We can raise the mood slightly.
A different tone of film, yeah.
So we saw Arrival on Monday, a preview. It's now on general release, came out on Friday.
Yes.
Andy, give us a brief description.
Okay, Arrival is the story of what happens when aliens, extraterrestrials, arrive on Earth. And the way it's set up is 12 separate craft land on Earth in different locations across the world. It is then the job of Amy Adams, who is a language expert, to try and communicate with these. And what happens is every 18 hours, a hole opens at the bottom of the ship and people can walk up into there and have a conversation with these extraterrestrial beings. There's also Jeremy Renner in there, who plays a physicist. And basically, like I said, it's the story of how, in a situation like this, do we communicate with something where we do not understand their language and they do not understand ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story of language, basically. And then it's intertwined with flashbacks of a situation that happens with Amy Adams.
Mm. Yeah. That's
fine. Is that about it?
That's as spoiler-free as it's going to get, I think. Yeah. I think that works. Yeah, so in contrast to most science fiction alien films, it is not an invasion film. It's a first contact film. It is an arrival film.
It's more closer to Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It's Close Encounters, it's things like that, it's contact,
yeah.
Anything like that. So if you're expecting it to be a big crash, boom, bang, sort of exploding white
it's not Star Wars.
Film, it's not that. And, you know, to its benefit, it's not that. Because, you know, how many of those do you get? You get loads. What you get with this film is an incredibly smart piece of work that asks questions that actually, you know, it's an alien arrival film, but at the same time, it's about much more than just the aliens. It's a film about humanity. It's a film about the way we perceive the way things are and what we can do to benefit ourselves.
Absolutely. I must say, I really enjoyed this film. Mm. And I think in a year that also had Independence Day, in it, this is what we needed. We needed something that was a bit of a palate cleanser for the sci-fi genre.
Yeah.
Because what we've also had this year is Morgan, which you got the impression that was trying, as another sci-fi film, was trying to be...
Ex Machina.
Yeah. And this film came along and, in my eyes, was its own thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to have something that's smart. It's got a fairly hefty twist in it.
Yeah.
But I didn't see coming at all.
No.
But I really enjoyed that it did. But also, it is talking about the human condition more than anything else. It's not... Yes, there are aliens there and it's a backdrop. But what it's actually talking about is how humans converse with each other rather than how we chat to an extraterrestrial species. That's just a...
That's something to connect it to the science fiction.
It's kind of window dressing, really. Yeah. I think it's really well shot as well.
It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is amazing. It is very reminiscent of Monsters. Have you ever seen it?
No.
The Gareth...
I saw his Godzilla.
Very, very sort of personal filmmaking in the sense that it gets right up, you know, it's all sort of right in the faces of the characters. And there's a huge amount of that in this film as well. And even the way that the aliens sort of look is quite similar to the way that the aliens look in Monsters. So there were times during it that I was remembering that film, which is never a bad thing. Honestly, it's really, really brilliant. But the whole thing looks beautiful, sounds beautiful.
Oh, the music in this Johansson's
score is just phenomenal.
Like, it's set so well to what is happening. And the music and even just the sound effects and stuff like that, like their use of effects throughout the film is wonderful. It really took me away to what this film is. And I was really engrossed in everything that's happening. And I think Amy Adams is also... You know, I've not been a big fan of Amy Adams lately, but I've not really seen all that much with her. But the stuff that I have seen, I've not been like, oh, but I think this is really good.
Yeah.
Like, I think it really, really gets deep into what her character is. But also, she's very good at what the film's very good at is going, there are some complex ideas behind what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we're going to kind of filter it down so you understand it. And I really like it when people explain language to me. I never learn a second language, but I really like the idea of language, if that makes sense. So when you talk about the etymology of words, and there's a really nice
scene. The etymology of the sentence.
Yeah.
And saying, breaking the sentence down and saying, it's not as simple as saying, how did you get here or why are you here?
Yeah, because that's all that Forrest Whitaker wants. Because Forrest Whitaker plays a kind of general, he wants to know why these...
All we need is the answer to one sentence, which is, what is your purpose on Earth? And then she's like, well... It's not that simple.
And she breaks it down and explains exactly why we can't just say the phrase. Because for you and me, it's easy to go, why are you here? We know, we know this language.
Mm.
But for somebody who just doesn't even know hello from goodbye, it's much more difficult. And it's really good at breaking that down. And I think Jeremy Renner does a similar thing with some of the physics elements. And I don't think that's explored as much because it's not really about
that is not what the film is about. The physics side of it isn't what the film is about because actually that's unimportant towards the end. And it's unimportant largely during the film because you're actually more interested in these sort of English lessons that these aliens are taking from Amy Adams.
Yeah, and we're learning a little bit about their culture as well.
They're learning about the heptapods language. So it's the kind of film that I think does really well in that it's science fiction in the best way. In that it's asking questions in the way that all science fiction, all good science fiction does.
Yeah.
Not all science fiction asks questions. And it's exploring those and exploring, you know, what impact that has on us as human beings. And so, you know, using us as a projector onto a canvas of aliens, essentially. You know, reflecting elements of humanity back onto a non-human entity. Or, you know, something like that. I think it's incredibly well put together. I think it's incredibly well acted. I think Amy Adams' performance is really, really good. It's no Hayley Squires in I, Daniel Blake, but it's still very, very good performance. I would be very surprised if it's not up for a lot of attention at the end of the year for Oscars.
Especially the way it looks as well, because he does a very good job as well. Who was it who directed it?
Denis Villeneuve, I think. Yes, he's doing the next Blade Runner. He's doing the Blade Runner sequel as well.
He did a very good job of helping us see this situation through the character's eyes as well. He does a good job. don't know if you spotted it, but we don't see that alien craft until Amy Adams does.
Yeah.
Until her character does. And I know we keep calling her Amy Adams because that's only because I've forgotten her character's name. Doctor something or another.
Is it Rachel?
No, you're thinking Rachel McAdams. But he does a very good job of making sure that we only see certain things when she does, and we're following, so we're only getting the story as she does, so we're never ahead of that character. And it means that they can put in surprises. And obviously, if you've seen the trailers, you've seen these ships, but when you first see it in the film, and it's just this billowing, obelisk-like situation, just slightly floating above the ground, it's an incredible sight. Mm. And I think they do very good at making that wonder of that sci-fi should have, that wonder of what if this happened.
Mm.
But they also include this really interesting situation where language is such an important key to our society.
Yeah.
And it's also, there's a very nice bit towards the end where they talk about how your approach to language can completely change the situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
The approach to teaching a new language. But then, as well as that, you get a great supporting role from Jeremy Renner, who, once again, I think performs the role of what everybody would be thinking in that situation. Yeah. Because there's definitely a bit where he walks into a room and gravity shifts.
Mm.
And he's just like, what the fuck is this?
Mm.
And you're there like, I appreciate that. But there's also a great couple of lines about why they think the 12 ships have landed where they are. There's some really nice moments. But I think predominantly the way this looks, the way it's written and the way it sounds, is just an incredible blend.
Mm.
Now, we went and watched it with other people. And they came out and they didn't like it at all.
No, they're the complete opposite.
Which is really strange, because I came out and I was like, surely everyone will like this film. And when I heard they didn't, I was like, oh, that's a surprise.
I think it honestly depends on what you're wanting to go in for.
Yeah.
I think if you're wanting... The thing is, I'm always much more of a fan of Earth-bound science fiction than I am of space-bound science fiction, because actually I think it's more interesting.
Hmm.
If you want a science fiction film that involves, I don't know, because I don't think they wanted it to be a crash, boom, bang type film.
Yeah.
But for some reason they couldn't relate to it, or they couldn't... I don't know. It's a very strange one. I mean, I can understand that it's not going to be for everyone.
No.
Because and this these is what kind of films aren't. But I honestly think it's, whilst it probably won't be in contention for my top film of the year, it is certainly very well made. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I can't really think of something that I'd go, oh, that's a big,
issue
for me. So, honestly, I'm looking at it and thinking, in terms of Oscars, it'll definitely be up there. And in terms of my best film of the year, it'll be close. It'll be around
the top. Yeah, it'll be around the top. And that's the thing. It's a very strong film. And I think, like you said, it's all about personal taste. I think we came out and we were like, actually, that does a lot for me. And there's a lot we could talk about, but I don't want to spoil anything for this film.
Yeah, I think both of the films this week are good examples of films that you really have to experience yourself. And if you do give away spoilers, it does sort of ruin the entire thing.
Mm.
So I would say if you can get... I mean, it's just come out on Friday, so it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's basically
go
everywhere.
And see it. If you can also see Daniel Blake, go and see Daniel Blake.
If you go to a cinema and you see Arrival and Daniel Blake in there this week, go see Daniel Blake. Because that's not going to be there much longer. But then go and see Arrival afterwards. Double bill it.
If you can double bill it... Fucking hell, heavy double bill.
That's a heavy double bill. Break it up with... The Trolls movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, go watch Daniel Blake.
Doing quite well, I hear.
Trolls, then Arrival.
Okay.
Triple bill.
Jesus, you don't have any tears left.
Because that heart.
Of Trolls.
That heart-wrenching Trolls movie. But I would absolutely recommend it. I'm trying to think if there's anything I missed out when talking about it, but I think basically that's as much as we can really say without spoiling much of that film.
Yeah, I think,
it's one to be experienced.
We've said all we can really say about it.
And I think the main thing is it won't be for everybody. It won't be. But if you go in with an open mind and wanting to see something a bit more... I was going to say a bit more interesting, but that's a bit unfair on, say, other films. But something that kind of... it's more exploratory, let's say.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be for you.
Yeah. Look, if you can see both. And if you like science fiction, you'll probably like it.
I'd hope so.
And if you don't, give it a try anyway.
And if you want your thoughts on the state of society reinforced, definitely go see Daniel Blake.
I'm planning to see something this week. I'm hoping probably Nocturnal Animals for Wednesday.
There's Nocturnal Animals, also Accountants out, I think, now or soon.
It's out. It's been out for a week and a bit.
So,
And Independence Day Resurgence is out on DVD today.
Oh, so go back and listen to our Independence Day Resurgence review.
And then
I did watch Nerve. We'll speak about that on Wednesday.
Jesus.
We all know everyone's been waiting for that review.
Okay, everyone.
After everything we said today, I think I've just ruined any respect people have for us.
Yeah, well, everyone's like, this has been the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. You're not... Nervecast.
Oh. They'd be like, oh, they watched Daniel Blake and they watched Arrival. What else did they watch? Oh, Nerve. Emma Roberts vehicle.
As always, you can find us on Buzzsprout, on iTunes, on Stitcher. Why did I say Buzzsprout first?
You love Buzzsprout.
I don't, though. I like them enough. I like them as a friend. I don't love them. As always, you can find us on those places. You can also rate, comment, and subscribe. If you subscribe, that would be good. If you rate, you always have to rate 5 stars. You don't always have to, but you probably should.
Do that. Give us a little comment.
And if you're going to comment, 4 stars. No, wait.
Four thumbs up.
5-star rating, 4 thumbs up comment.
Yeah.
It's a stupid comment. Say something interesting. Don't just say 4.
Oh, you can say something interesting if you want.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make things simple for them.
You can also find us on Facebook with the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. If you're on Twitter, who isn't? Who isn't these days?
Mark.
Mark's not on anything. Mark's only on Facebook if one of us boots it up for him and just sees all his birthday messages.
His birthday messages from the last 4 years.
When he was last on Facebook, the graffiti wall was last on Facebook, mate. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter at DinosaurMan15. And that's pretty much it, isn't it? We'd like to thank Johnny Neves for doing the theme song. Andy, you've been lovely to spend time with.
It's all right.
Live in the same house.
You've been all right?
Yeah, well, I've annoyed you today, haven't I? No, you've annoyed me today. you've been difficult this morning.
Please share this with your friends and family.
This episode, more than any, please do, because if we can get the word out about Daniel Blake, to say that we're fucking fighting the good fight here, we're the only ones sticking up for Daniel Blake while everyone else gives it a kicking. It's a fucking phenomenal film. Arrival's huge. Arrival will do very well for itself.
People will watch
Daniel
Arrival.
Blake needs to be seen now.
And people need to know about it. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think like we said, that's where we're going to leave it. So thank you, and until next time.
Don't go and see terrible films when there are films like this out there. Crazy. Dinosaur Man.